This is the beginning of part 7 of the Art Hamill Teleseminar. Hi, Art. I want to hire you or somebody to mentor or coach me on buying a business and pay your fee from the business after the purchase. What do you say to that?
I have people all the time offer that, but you see, what would I gain from that? I mean, why would I do something like that? I mean, I can go out and buy the same business you're going to buy, and instead of having a fee, let's say it's making $1 million a year and the investors take half of it. Instead of getting a few fees at, say, $150 an hour, I can go out and buy this business and I'll have an income in the same period of time. It'll be faster than working with somebody new. I'll have an income of $500,000. That's if we buy a small business. So, although I've had a lot of people come to me over the years and want to do this after the fact, if you don't have the money now to go in on it, what you ought to do is do it on your own. In other words, find a manufacturing company and get owner financing, finance assets, and go out and buy the business without the mentoring. But I don't know anybody that's been in business very long that's going to do it after the fact. But a lot of people do ask. But try something else.
Okay, if I buy your home study course, Art, can you be my mentor for life? For example, if I encounter some problems in the buying process, can I call you for help?
People call me all the time. But the thing is, on the home study course, I really have nothing to do with that. Michael does. So maybe you can get him to be your mentor for life. But as far as business, I have people that went through the seminar, and basically back in the seminar days, we used to give everybody free help until they bought a business. I have people from the seminar today, 25, 30 years after they went through the class, they're still calling me on different things they're buying large companies. But I really can't tell you that on a home study course, I would be your mentor for life just based on a home study course. And again, if you called me for problems in the business, I would do it for a fee. Other than that, think about it. How many people in any field can you go out and, because you bought their book or something like that, and they're showing you how to get into the internet business, and you run into a problem? You can't call the university and you can't call the person with a book. So home study course. I'm sorry, but I can't be your mentor for life.
All right, so we've got a new policy for some of the students who want to work with you. Why don't you just describe what it is and how it became?
Let me get through this in detail so everybody will understand why I'm making the changes. And also, I don't want them to get a feeling that we're not going to be working with them anymore. It's just that, I'll explain as I go through it. The main thing we wanted to talk about was the refund of the $150 an hour fee. Now, 40 years ago, 35 years ago, we were in the brokerage business. We had developed different things to use. So when people would come to our office, so we would waste our time. We charge them $150 an hour. Then when they bought a business, we gave them their money back. And again, that worked very well. So we started doing this and work with people. Even though we were doing something different, we weren't really in the brokerage thing. I decided to use $150 an hour because we had used that 37 years ago, and I figured that would be fair. But the thing that I screwed up on, I then added that we were going to give the money back, and I should not have done that because I believe it's caused problems. And let me just explain that. We always go through these different programs at the end of each year. And again, we went through this, and again, it wasn't until February we got to the point where we made a decision on what we were going to do. So on this $150 an hour fee, I'm refunding it when you buy a business. We'll continue to do that on anybody that came in before February of this year. But after February of this year, we will not be refunding the money at the close of escrow. Now, we're always talking about a buyer having a little skin in the game. When we give a buyer all other fees back, they have no skin in the game. And again, it never dawned on me. I mean, I just picked $150 an hour a couple years ago when I was working with people coming out of your program, Michael. But I should not have added that we were going to refund the money, because what we did is we went to people and said, okay, you can come in, we will help you buy a business, and you have no cost. You have nothing out of your pocket. In other words, anything that you put up, you're going to get it back. And so what happened is they really didn't have any skin in the game. Again, the reason I think they came in the beginning was, how could they lose? There was no cost involved. Now, I never expected to work with buyers that had $10 million to buy a $10 million business. Most of the referrals I've worked with have little or nothing to invest. They needed investors to take up the slack, which is what we did. We went with the investors. Now, what happened is, up until February this year also, the second part of this is, the investors wanted me to stay as long as they stay, which is 5 years. The investors would come in, they get paid every quarter, and then at the end of 5 years, they get their money back, plus a percent on the upside. So at the close of escrow, since they wanted me to stay, I received a warrant option, whatever it was. I'm not an attorney. And what would happen is, I could get out when the investors got out. Now, although I seldom mentioned it, more investors said yes because I left my 10 to 20% of the business in the deal. Now, why would investors do that? Well, if you were basically coming in from the program, Michael, and say you're able to buy a business, and let's say I was receiving a fee, I'd be receiving a fee of 10%, say, of the business. That's been our deal all the way back to day one. And what happens is, when I'm coming in and I'm taking something in kind, that's always been the rule in every business I've worked on, and that is, it's 10% cash, and if you want me to stay, I'm basically getting stock or a warrant, I get 20%. So the investors felt pretty good, because they figured, even though the buyers weren't coming up with very much or little, I was leaving my 10 to 20% of the deal. So, I mean, that would offset the nothing or very little from the buyer. Also, every seller and investor worries that if the buyer doesn't have any skin in the game, when a problem arises, they'll walk. Now, think of the current subprime real estate mess. I mean, this goes on all the time, hearing about real estate. I have people come to me and say, how come we don't read about that in business? I keep saying, it happens more often in business. I mean, it's not something you're going to put on a business page. I mean, so what? A buyer went in, didn't put much money in, and then when something went wrong, he just walked away. And that's what's happened. Now, they knew I wouldn't walk, so number one, they had 10 to 20% of my money in the deal. They also knew I wouldn't walk. So the investor said, okay, 35 years ago. Now, when we first started, and maybe it's 40 now, the buyers for many years with me, Arthur Hamill, only. We only started working with buyers a couple of years ago and did not change the rules. I should have set up at $150 an hour and not refund the money. That was basically my mistake at that time. So, just to review, the $150 an hour will not be refunded at close after February this year. Also, I get cashed out at the close of escrow. And just think about it from my standpoint. I don't want to wait 5 years. I'm over 75 now. I'm about to turn 76. And I may not need it when I'm over 80. So think about it from my standpoint. I would like to get my money out now. I've been waiting for 5 years on these other deals, and I really don't want to do it anymore. I also want people to know, in June of this year, I'll be raising my fee to $200 an hour, non-refundable. And I will continue to raise it by $50 an hour every 6 months until I turn 80.
it'll also encourage the students to maybe do a little homework on their own.
I know, but you see, I just finished up with somebody that didn't rely on me very much, which was very good. You can't find anybody, Michael, that's ever come to me through your program. But I did not push all the time. In other words, quit calling me on the small stuff. You're running up your bill. You're spending too much money. If it wasn't non-refundable, I think they would have thought more about it. Not that it's 150 hours, a lot for what we're doing, but I think it's going to help.
I think it's a good idea. I think you're going to have better qualified and more serious students, and $150 an hour for your experience and your advice is peanuts. It really is.
And also, I will not work with any buyers that do not sign a counseling contract. In other words, if somebody comes to me and they want to wait, again, I used to offer this up. In other words, either at 150 an hour or you put together the business and the business plan and the offer to purchase and bring those to me when you're done, and I'll look at them and see if I can do something. But you would have to pay 150 an hour. The problem is, just recently, I had a deal after the other person had spent months working on this, and because of certain conditions in this business purchase, I couldn't work on it under no circumstances. So I basically had to back out. The buyer was not very happy with that. And also, I wasn't, because I was giving up a very large fee in cash, as a matter of fact. But did I have to do it? Yes. So that's one of the problems you have also when you decide to wait down the end. Am I going to do it anymore? Because I don't want to have somebody being disappointed. The initial meeting fee that we've talked about, that was always non-refundable, you know, first meeting, payable in advance, that will not change. That will always be 150 an hour. That's non-refundable.
The initial 150 and then in June up to 200?
That part will always be 150. We're not going to raise that. That's just to talk to me. Now, I just want to spell out one thing. Number one, I'm not retiring. I'll continue to spend most of my time businesses for my own account using my wonderful investors' cash, because they are there. They've been there a long time. Again, I said, Michael, I enjoy working with you, so I just wanted to explain this.
Hello, Art. Here's a challenge for you. I'd like to see you solve it, or somebody beat this one. I'm a 60-year-old male, very intelligent, and I've been around. I'm a former real estate investor, bought and sold 392 residential properties, all with no money down. In fact, I came out of closing with cash each time I bought a home. When Clinton came into the White House, he did his thing, and I and many like me bit the dust. I ended up going bankrupt. I was hurt in an accident and am currently receiving Social Security disability and have about $500 to my name. I can run a company. I was just about to jump back into real estate, and of course, I do have the skills to succeed, but I'd love to see you help me buy a $20 million company instead. Lou.
Well, can you go out and buy a $10 million company? Yes. There's two ways we normally work with something like this if you're going through, Michael, and that is we're going to charge you $150 an hour. We help you while you're doing it. The other way to do it is go out and find that $20 million business and just tell me that's what you're going to do, or tell Michael that's what you're going to do. Or a $10 million business, and we get to the point where you have a business plan finished and you have a contract, then contact me, and you will not have used any of your $500.
Art, does your course focus on buying online businesses? If so, what would you consider the major points to buying a successful online or internet business?
Okay, first of all, one thing I'd like to tell you, I have found this in 53 years of doing this, and that is, I don't care what kind of business you're buying or where it is on this planet, it's always the same. So whether you're buying a manufacturing company or you're buying an online business, the negotiating part is the same. Now, the thing you have to realize is when you're going out to buy an online business, it's a service business. So one thing you're going to run into, major point, is going to be the fact you're going to have a hard time financing it, because you don't have assets to finance. You're also going to find there's a lot of people out there that are selling that don't want to carry back any owner financing. So unless you have money, you're going to have a hard time putting it together. The other thing you have to worry about on something like this is the competition, because you can get in and set up an online site for about 43 cents or maybe less, which means everybody else out there is competing. And again, you're going to get on there, you're going to buy the successful online business, but there's a lot of other people out there that are trying to do the same thing, or they're competing with you. And the competition in the online business is horrendous. And there's no way to protect yourself, because what's going to happen is somebody else is going to come along and say, boy, is he doing well? I'm going to go out and do the same thing. I've got 24 cents or 43 cents to do this also. Give me an example today. One of the problems on these businesses like this, the business is not going to be that large, probably price-wise, but in the past, a lot of people with service business like this would go to the Small Business Administration, which would guarantee a certain percent of a loan, to go to the bank and get a bank loan guaranteed by the federal government. Well, they've changed that now. And on the thing that's called goodwill, the government will not go over $250,000. Now, what happens with an online business? You're going to find that you have two orange crates and two pens, which means you have a total equipment, hard asset thing of 43 cents in this company that you have. And you're going to find the rest of the price is going to be goodwill. And so you're going to find you can't even go out and get SBA financing on these things. So all I'm saying is, I don't know if you should be going out to buy one, or maybe you should be starting one. Because when you're out there and you look at these successful online businesses and they give you the information on it, which an owner will have to do to sell it to you, what the average person is probably going to do, and maybe you should consider doing, get the information and go out and form your own online business. And get around the problems, because you can do it a lot less expensive.
Are there any outstanding books or other training programs that you would recommend for buying businesses?
Well, you know, when we first started, there was nothing out there. And only one I know, and I was just thinking, Richard Parker, who I know pretty well. He's in Florida. In fact, his corporation, if you go on the internet, I think it's Diomo, D-I-O-M-O, corporation. So if you go on the internet, you'll find information, and he sells books. I don't know if he has a training program or not. He's also a business broker, so I don't know what your feelings are on business brokers, but you always have to be careful with business brokers, but I have not ever had any negative feedback on Richard over the years.
Do you have transcripts or recordings of your old TV and radio shows that we can learn from?
You know, it's fantastic to hear this from you, Michael, for whoever asked the question. I hate to say I do. Transcripts, recordings, we have video of the times we were on the TV shows, and we have it in storage. Have I ever looked at them or going back on it? No. Should I? I'm going to do that. I'm going to go back and see what we have, Michael, and I'll check back with you, but give me till May sometime. Yeah, that's really fascinating.
If you get them all together and mail them down to me, I'll get them digitized for you.
I know, but you see, we talked about this a couple of years ago.
You know, I'm just trying, did you send me something?
I did send you something. I think I sent you the one-hour training program we had on television.
For more exclusive interviews on business, marketing, advertising, and copywriting, go to Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com. Okay, Art, your course seems a bit over my head. What material would you suggest I use as a primer before I get into your material? Kind regards, Kyle Bolt.
I just want to tell you something. I started teaching 47 years ago. I hate to keep bringing that up, but it's been a long time. And I have not met a person. And again, I've had people that didn't have an IQ as high as Gomer Pyle did or any of these other people on television that didn't have too much in the way of brain power. All I'm saying is I don't care what you have here. You're going to find that this is not a problem. It's very simple. What you have to do when you're going through the program is you have to go through each chapter more than once because it has nothing to do with an understanding because this is not rocket science. You're going to find it's very simple. It's very simple to comprehend. But what you have to do, you have to believe to make it work. First of all, you have to believe that you can buy a business. Once you come in here and go through this and have enough information, you have to take the main chapters like on financing, finding a business, things like that. And if you don't believe or you don't go out and make it work, you have to go back and read it again until it finally sinks in that this really does work. And once you do that, you're not going to have a problem with it. And again, we came out with courses originally many, many years ago. In all 40-some years of teaching and doing all the things we've done in education over the years, 40-some years, we have never run into that problem. Keep in mind, people keep coming back and saying, it is tough. It is not tough. I say it's simple. And again, sometimes we get the words confused. It's not easy. So it's time-consuming. It takes time to go out and buy a business. It takes time to be successful. But the thing is, if you put the time in, you'll find you can succeed every time because it doesn't take a lot of anything to accomplish this.
So what's the prize? Let's say someone put the time in. It wasn't easy, but it was simple. But they put the time in. They had to look at a lot of dogs to find that one business. Let's say they find a $10 million business and it's manufacturing and they're able to finance the business using assets. What's the prize? What are they going to end up with?
Well, if you buy a business and say it's a $10 million business, it's going to have a net profit of $2.5 to $3 million. You're going to find out you're going to go with investors and say you're going to finance assets. Arithmetic-wise, what happens is you end up giving up half the cash flow. So on $3 million, you only have $1.5 million left for you and your family.
$1.5 million a year, and that's with investors?
No, that's $1.5 million that would go to you.
Okay.
That would be with investors, but it would also be if you finance assets.
Oh, that's true. That's going to be the same, whether you finance assets or use investors.
What we preach is, if you don't have 50% left, there's something wrong with what you're doing. Either you overpaid or something along that line. Said, please don't come back and ask me why it turns out to be 50%. Even though I'm an engineer, I'd never bother to figure it out.
So either way, you can end up with $1.5 million a year.
To you, to start. Again, then you're going to come back to me and ask me, how much did you pay yourself in salary? Oh, no matter how you work it, you're going to have complete control of your company. And you're going to find that that $3 million is going to be sitting in the bank right from the beginning. Well, first year anyway. And so if you wonder whether you should pay yourself $100,000 or $150,000, don't pay yourself anything. Draw $1.5 million out of the company. In other words, if it's $1.5 million, I'd say you can draw out $100,000 a month if you and your family can live on that. And that's a start. And if you have management in there, you'll have more than one company, which is what we do. We buy multiple companies.
Is there a preferred way to draw an income from a business that you own? Do you just pay yourself a salary? Is that the standard way, or is there a better way to do it?
Pay yourself a salary. You pay withholding. You pay matching withholding. Hello? We normally are forming LLCs today. It's basically a partnership. So there's no taxation in the company itself, in the corporation. So what happens is the people that own interests in this company get a return monthly, quarterly, whatever it happens to be. They pay the tax outside the company in their own income. So what happens is, again, you can pay yourself a salary, but I don't know why you would do that. What we do is just give yourself a draw, pull money out every month, pull it out hourly. It's your company. You have the checkbook.
When you pull it out, you're pulling it out as a salary, though, or are you borrowing against the company?
No, I'm not doing either. I'm taking my money out, profit that I have from the company, as I go along. So if I'm going to have, say, $1.2 million a year, okay, this will be my profit. If I want to leave some of it there to expand the company, I might do that. But if I'm pulling it out, I could pull out $100,000 a month. By pulling it out, I write a check to myself. What happens is the government comes back April 15th and says, we want you to pay tax on that.
Right, you personally will pay tax on it.
I pay the tax on it personally. I don't call it a salary because most of the time, I'm not running these companies. Since I'm not running the company, somebody else is running a salary and running it. That's why I keep telling people, I have not had a job in 50 years.
No, that makes sense. You own it. You're not running it, so it's not really a salary. You're the owner. What do you call that? Is that earned income or just income, tax-wise? What do you call that?
It's profit from a company, and it's a profit you're making on the business. I mean, I own this corporation, and this is the profit I made last year. I made $1.2 million. The other $1.2 went to pay for the loans I had on the company.
Then you think about, okay, your first year, if you got a $10 million company, and you're going to profit, you know, $1.5 million, and ask yourself, it takes a lot of work to go see a lot of businesses to find that one that's going to work. I mean, look at the profit you're going to come out with. If you really knew you could do it, you could invest $1 million just to find one company.
Okay, but the person with $1 million is going to want a $50 million company, probably, or a $20 million company. And the reason I know that, I've worked with a lot of people that purchase the companies and are in the range of, say, $10 million. But when they come back again, they don't go after another $10 million company. They go after something larger. I don't know. It's something that we do as human beings.
Well, you've always said that the larger it is, the easier it is to do. Why is it?
It's like working with investors. The reason I like investors that have over $1 million, the ones that have under $1 million are petty little jerks. What they want to do is they want to get a 500% return every year on their $100,000 or $200,000. We tried a six-month period a number of years ago to work with people that had less than $1 million. At the end of 6 months, after almost having a nervous breakdown working with these people, we decided we would never do that again. People that have over $1 million to invest are usually looking for a normal return. Unless they go to Madoff, whatever that guy's name is.
Madoff, yeah.
If you want 12%, 15%, and you want 25%, you go to him. Actually, the return you're going to get on your business is going to be more than he offers, and you're not going to have a Ponzi scheme to do it. You have to do it legitimately. Own a business, pay your taxes, hire a good CPA, so every year he can figure out what you can do to minimize your taxes.
as you're doing this and you're looking at a business to get a CPA and an attorney to ride along with you. Can you explain that?
Yeah, well, in the beginning, you can tell you, a lot of people that come in to buy a business to talk to me, but don't talk to me, don't have a lot of money to invest, so they're trying to go after a little donut shop. What you have to do is realize you have to build a team in the beginning. First of all, you can't buy a business, I don't care how good you are, and you took an accounting course or two in school. What you have to do is you have to hire a good CPA, because somebody's going to have to check the books, and you need a CPA that has business knowledge. You have to have one that is going in to check books of companies when somebody's trying to buy it. You don't buy some guy that handles divorce taxes or something like that. You need somebody that handles that. And then once you buy the business, this CPA will end up working with you. Now, say I'm in California and I have a CPA in San Jose, because I've had him for years. Okay, I still use him even when I'm in Southern California now. But if I'm back like I'm right now, I'm working on a deal in Columbus, Ohio. Well, I'm not going to have my CPA client back there. I'm going to find a CPA there. I cannot use a CPA from the company because he's been doing the books, and I can't say I'm not going to trust him, but I need somebody new to go in and check the books out. So I will find a CPA in Columbus, Ohio, and after we close on it, he will end up my CPA. And again, when you're buying a multi-million-dollar business and you go to a CPA, he's looking at you as, wow, I want this guy as a fantastic new client. The same thing with attorneys. So when you go to them, you say, well, God, they're probably going to say I want a retainer and all this other. You're not doing a very good job if they ask for a retainer, because I've had this come up year after year in the seminar business and after the seminar business, and I keep telling them, tell the attorney, tell the CPA that you'll pay him at the close of escrow. If you're going out and having somebody do a business plan for you, tell them you'll pay him at the close of escrow. It's no big deal. Now, will some big corporations just give you a hard time? Well, if they do, you ought to talk to another person that's higher up in the company and explain to them what you're buying and what type of customer you're going to be. Because if some dinky little attorney just starting gives you a hard time, it means you're working with the wrong person. Because every CPA, every attorney out there is trying to drum up more business. And if you're bringing an account, let's say you're buying a business at $5 million, $10 million, $20 million, that's a hell of a big account. They're going to kiss your butt. So go out there and get a good attorney that's handled business transactions, not some divorce attorney. Get somebody good, somebody you like. You don't want to work with somebody you don't like or you don't trust. As you go out there, again, you're going to keep thinking people are going to reject you. All I'm saying is, everybody over the years come to me, not everybody, but most people come to me and say, oh, I'm getting all sorts of negative reaction and all the other. I say, well, you know, I've been in business for years. In the beginning, I had so many people tell me I couldn't do this and couldn't do that. And you know what? Even today, as we expand to do different things, I have ne'er-do-wells where people say, oh, that'll never work. We can't do that. You can't do that. And I don't listen to them. Why? Because they have never been right. Because I'm always determined. I mean, I go out to look at a business deal. If I fly to Columbus, Ohio, I'm not going to go back there to see an Ohio State game, especially if I went to Penn State and we kicked their butt last year. Now we barely got by. All I can say is the best opportunity in the world is not going to some hedge fund, is not going and buying real estate, and I can tell you what a great investment it is. The thing you have to think about in this world is not equity. You have to think about cash flow. And what you have to do is take your life and say, okay, I'm going to buy a business. I'm going to buy a larger business. And what you have to do is convince yourself. Don't get discouraged. It has nothing to do with race, creed, or color. It has nothing to do with your age. It has nothing to do with your weight. I mean, I don't care what excuse you use for not succeeding. If you were talking to me, I would never let you get by with that. The problem is, some of you don't listen. So if you're listening to the program or if you're listening to me, you're saying, I'm not going to do it that way. Well, all I can tell is I've been doing this for years. And all I can tell you is there may be a lot of other ways that are easier and better than what I tell you to do. All I can tell you is this works. All the other things are just going to give you an exercise. So instead of doing that, put my picture up, get a dartboard out, throw a dart at my picture while you're doing this, and every time something goes wrong or a broker gives you a hard time, throw a dart. And just keep in mind, your goal is to go after that business and buy it. Don't let anything discourage you. You're going to have times when things are going to go well. You're going to find 3 or 4 in a row or 10 in a row that are pieces of crap. Let somebody else buy those because they're going to suffer. What you do is take your time and buy something good, and don't let anybody discourage you, because every one of you can succeed doing this. I don't care where you are on this planet. I don't care what excuse you have. Your excuses are not valid. All you're doing is you're coming up with reasons you call yourself a fail. And again, a few years from now, 34 years from now, you look back and you say, I succeeded. No, you didn't. You're a failure. Why? Because you didn't go out and take advantage of the time you have right now in your life. Take the time to buy a business. Your life will change completely, and these dollar figures, these nets we keep talking about, I know are unbelievable, but who do you think owns all these companies? Nobody? Hello?
For more interviews like this, go to hardtofindseminars.com. Thanks for listening. This is the end of Part 7 for the Art Hamill Teleseminar. Thanks for listening.